A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will be measured back to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Salvation history for each of us is pretty simple. After a long period of preparation, Jesus Christ came down, and he set a standard. And then he said, "Follow me." He said we would be judged by the standard we set in whether we follow him or not. That's why he begins today, "Be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful." He came down as mercy incarnate to show us the incredible richness of the Father's merciful love, but also to make us true sons of that Father, capable of sharing that mercy with others. And we must. That's who we are. Jesus starts to get very specific. Stop judging, you won't be judged. Stop condemning, you won't be condemned. Because we're often judging and condemning. We're often failing to forgive. We're often putting ourselves first rather than giving and then receiving in that practice of giving. I mention quite often, because I think it's one of the least acted upon parables in the gospel, about the two men who owed. Mentioned it even a few days ago. One owed someone the equivalent in modern dollars, if he made $100 a day, of $1 billion. Another, 100 denarii, $10,000. The one who begged that he be given a chance to pay back the billion. The billion. How many of us could pay back $1 billion besides the sisters? Who could pay back $1 billion? Nobody can. But the entire debt was remitted. Then the same man went out and somebody owed him 10,000. And he threw him into jail until he would pay back what he owed. One man was $1 billion richer and he couldn't even, imitating the generosity he had received, allow the debt of 10 grand to go. We're often that way. Our sins only killed the Messiah. And yet, when somebody says a bad word about us, we don't forgive. When somebody harmed us, looked the other way, chose somebody when we deserved it, we'll hold that grudge forever. You know, little kids, when their brother or sister makes a bad face at them, rather than forgiving, what do? They go over and they punch them or do something else. When we grow a little older, if somebody hurts us in a way, we can't wait to tell the third person in order to try to assassinate that person's reputation. Do you know what that person did to me? Let me tell you what just happened. Rather than forgiving, we start spreading a context of ill. We can often hold grudges for decades, never forgiving for what a family member did at another family member's funeral, for example. Or a comment that shouldn't have been said, but was said, and it still is there causing pain. I tell a story often, which is a true story, of when I was a priest at Espiritu Santo. I had a couple that was about to get divorced, and I was their last hope. They came to me because one of them said, "Let's at least talk to the priest before we do it." So as I normally do, I said, tell me where the real problem started. And the wife began, "Well, Father, it began a couple weeks ago. My husband was late 15 minutes from coming home from work." And then she went on a diatribe for about 10 minutes. And I listened carefully. I said, "I just want to go back to something. The real trigger was that your husband was late 15 minutes from work." She said, "Yes, Father, but you don't understand." And the man's being silent the entire time. And I said, why was 15 minutes such a problem for you? Well, 18 years ago, Father, he didn't come home until 3 o'clock at night, and he had alcohol in his breath. I waited up for him all night. I just suspected that he was cheating on me. He had never called. He never did anything. And then the husband growled, tell him where I was. She turned, you tell him. So he said that he was working at a factory in Fall River when one of the other men working there was served with divorce papers at the factory. It was the lowest day in this guy's life. He started talking about ways that he was going to end his life that day. And so the husband didn't want to leave his friend alone. Tried to get him to go a certain place. The friend didn't want to do it. The friend just says, well, I'll go to a bar. So he joined him in the bar. The husband admitted in a day before cell phones that he probably should have risked it and gone to a payphone and called his wife and said where he was. But he really didn't want to leave his friend alone for a minute, lest his friend leave the bar and go hurt himself. He knew that when his friend got specific, that his friend was serious. But eventually, by 3 o'clock, totally smashed, the friend was able to be brought to his home, put into bed to sleep it off. That's when the husband returned. And even with that real, truthful answer, the wife had never forgiven even the suspicion that her husband might have been drunk and with another woman. That's the type of cancer that can happen when we fail to be like God, when we fail to forgive. So today, as we come forward, we remember the Lord has forgiven us everything. He has made us far more than a billionaire with his mercy. Surely, we can share some of that generosity he's given us with those who have hurt us.